across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Wednesday, August 23rd. It's National Cheap Flight Day, National Cuban Sandwich Day, National Ride the Wind Day. Interesting choices there that you could either have Cheap Flight Day or Ride the Wind Day. I don't know of anybody that gets cheap flights anymore. In fact, I have a voucher from a major airline that I got almost 3 years ago, and the expiration date is this month, and I have tried and tried for weeks. The prices are so crazy on airlines right now that even this generous voucher that I took for, you know, I volunteered to take a later flight, there's still no place I would go that would make that voucher worth my time for a trip I otherwise don't need to take. So that leads us to National Ride the Wind Day, and I'm not one to take hang gliders, but I'm starting to think if that's where we're going to end up if these airline prices stay the way that they are. Coming up this hour, a symbol of inclusion has been targeted for exclusion. DePeer becomes the latest Wisconsin community where conservatives have tried to claim that flags about LGBTQ inclusion are divisive. They're not really, but what does that say about the people who want to exclude symbols of inclusion? We will have the full weatherology forecast coming up here. Just a crazy hot day. We'll give you 7 a.m. temperatures and forecast highs in just a bit. Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show, heard across the Civic Media Radio Network weekdays from 1 to 3, will be here as well. As always, if you missed our last hour, we talked to Melissa Baldoff about the crazy weather going on all across the country and much more, a little bit of a presidential debate preview. You can always subscribe to the show as a podcast. Go to Apple, Spotify, go to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. We'd love to have you along as a subscriber if you're not able to be a regular listener to the show. And if you are listening live, you can reach us here at 844-967-2789. Aaron Zommers is with us in the Madison studio as well. And I tried during the break, Aaron, to open up the window here. You heard Melissa in the last hour talk about how everybody's windows are, you know, the condensation has completely taken over. So I thought, well, I'm just going to open up for a little bit, get a little fresh air. I know it's warm outside. It was so crazy. How did you describe it? Like a wall?
Yeah, it's like a wall of swamp when you open the door or the window.
Yeah, you open up the door. And it's like instead of the snow drifts, you know, that are as high as the door, it's like a drift of humidity. And that's how it was with the window. It eventually felt after about 3-4 minutes, like you could feel the humidity just coming in like waves, and said, okay, well, that's enough of that. So much for quote unquote fresh air. And it was so like the, you know, the time that we spent living down in the Caribbean where, again, from Christmas to Easter, it's beautiful. Oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. But to live down there means you got to be there from Easter to Christmas. And it is like this every single day. And again, you're still in paradise. Don't get me wrong. There were many good things about living on an island, but then there was this. And I'll tell you, there are days that gets kind of old.
Yeah, personally, not for me.
No, I'm always telling people I'm glad we went, but that I'm also glad that we came back because we've really learned to appreciate seasons. And I like a hot day like this once in a while. I've got plans to play hooky this afternoon on the pontoon because I have to kind of work a second shift later and pay attention to that presidential debate tonight for tomorrow morning. And you're going to be doing the same thing. You said you got to do debate coverage tonight as well. So we're both working double shifts today.
Although I think you'll be up later than I am, because for me, it's the pregame show with Todd Alba and some people from the Lincoln Project, not the actual debates itself.
Yeah. Well, good. You spared yourself that. It's one of those cases where I could be here at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning and I could just read off, you know, Associated Press copy, like I do with late baseball games. I can do that. I don't have to stay up for every baseball game, but I really don't think it would be fair to just rattle off press coverage of a debate and that I'm going to have to subject myself to it. So just think of me when you go to bed, a little later than usual, but still earlier than some of us stuck watching whatever's going to happen in Milwaukee tonight.
Yeah, you might need some extra coffee tomorrow morning.
I think that's most definitely going to be the case. I even prepared, I was asked by the folks at Courier Newsroom, our parent company, to put together a TikTok video just noting that there's going to be this big presidential primary debate in Milwaukee. I shot the video down on the dock by my boat, and I said, okay, two choices of Wisconsin activities. You get to choose one. Which do you want to do in Wisconsin on a Wednesday? Do you want to take a pontoon ride around the lake, or do you want to watch a presidential primary debate in an arena? And I think we all know the answer to that, but you know, it is still worthwhile to pay attention to it. Even if you don't watch it, I'm going to watch it so you don't have to. This is still the first chance we all get to kick the tires on this non-Trump Republican field. And if you fancy yourself any kind of an independent voter in a swing state, if you're open to voting for some non-Trump Republican or Joe Biden, you're that independent, well, then if you don't want to watch tonight, at least pay attention to the coverage as the panel tries to knock these folks off their regular talking points and learn a bit more about them. All right, full weatherology forecast details coming up, along with a Brewers update from the Twins game last night. We'll be back. You're up north.
Singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a
Gene Kelly, born this day in 1912. Singing in the rain would normally be something you would do to introduce a weather topic or a weather segment. Not going to be the case today. Gene Kelly, born 1912, passed away 1996. Known so well for singing in the rain. We asked you, how hot is it out here? Here's from Roger. It's so hot outside, I saw the devil jump into the baptismal pool. Thank you, Roger. Thank you very much. These 7 a.m. temperatures are really impressive. It's 80 here on Lake Wissota. It is 79 in Madison on its way to 100. Waukesha, 75, getting close to 100. La Crosse might top out at 102. Wausau might top out at 92. It is just going to be that kind of a day. Let's see how long it sticks around and what the full Wisconsin forecast is from Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, like you've been saying, it's a really hot, sticky, muggy one overall today for everyone. Lots of advisories and excessive heat warning is in effect or going into effect today for essentially all of the listening areas, except for Wausau, who's expecting to have a heat advisory going into effect here later this morning. Still a hot one regardless there as well. Sunny skies across the board, highs in the upper 90s to around 100 degrees from Wisconsin Rapids down to Richland Center and over towards Milwaukee with heat indices over 100 degrees, with the warmest feels like temperature around Richland Center at 113 this afternoon. Oshkosh to Wausau and over to West Central Wisconsin, highs in the low to mid 90s today with heat indices also above 100, again, except for around Wausau lingering in the 90s, but still, again, a very hot, muggy one for everyone today. Thursday, another hot one, sunny for all, lingering in the 90s for southern Wisconsin with that excessive heat warning still in effect. Heat indices still above 100 for most. For central and west central Wisconsin, highs drop into the mid to upper 80s. Not looking like any advisories at this time for tomorrow for those locations, except for right around Baldwin, where they'll be expecting to have a heat advisory going into effect tonight and into tomorrow. Friday, cooling a little across the board, mid to low 80s primarily, upper 80s around southwestern Wisconsin. Sunny skies for most, some cloud cover coming in around Richland Center, then a slight chance for some isolated showers and thunderstorms for Amory and Baldwin over to Wausau in the afternoon hours on Friday, with a blend of clouds and sunshine developing there, then much cooler overall for the weekend ahead. Dry and sunny both Saturday and Sunday across the board, with highs dropping into the 70s for everyone as that cold front pushes through, so some relief is in sight.
And in Milwaukee, they've declared a heat emergency. They've opened up cooling centers. School has been canceled in Milwaukee today. It's that serious. But Jennifer, before I let you go, pop quiz for you here, because I've mentioned a couple of times I am going to play hooky this afternoon and get on the pontoon and bring plenty of water to stay hydrated. So if you were outside on a hot, hot day like this, if you couldn't stay inside an air-conditioned office or home, what would be your choice of a venue for a hot, hot day like this? Something like a lake, a pool? Where do you like to go?
A lake is always nice to go to. I feel like it's always even cooler than a pool is. So, yeah, I mean, that would be a great way to cool off.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Jennifer, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. You too.
Now, folks in Hayward going, hey, we're missing out on all the fun. It's only 64 degrees for folks up there listening to the Buzz of the North. And the forecast high for Hayward today is going to be 80 degrees. Oshkosh is at 77 on the way to 96. The Brewers didn't hit the ball particularly hard during a sixth-inning go-ahead rally last night against the Twins at American Family Field, but all they needed was a few bloops, a few seeing eye singles, and they basically roughed up a Twins reliever who came in the sixth, who promptly gave up six hits to the first seven Brewers that he faced, and so a 3-2 Twins lead became a 7-3 Brewers margin of victory. Both teams are still atop their respective central divisions in the National and American Leagues. They'll play again this afternoon, and then the Brewers have one of those coveted off days while at home, and then the San Diego Padres come to town for a weekend set, and we are going to be giving away tickets for Sunday's game against the Padres. We're going to give away two tickets on Thursday and two more on Friday. And in both cases, we're going to do it in our first hour during our history lesson and music break that we do around 6:50 every morning. So if you're looking for a weekend activity and can get to American Family Field, you might win yourself some tickets if you're tuning in tomorrow or Friday to Up North News Radio. As we've mentioned, there is this presidential primary debate in Milwaukee tonight, and we've spoken a little bit about what each of the candidates has to do to try to get noticed, to try to, you know, basically get out of their rut of where they are with their supporters. But how deep is that support in Wisconsin? And I'm going to be quoting extensively from Dan Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So before I do, I'm going to add my usual disclaimer that not only do I give, you know, credit to the reporters and papers where we get some of our information, but make it really explicit, you ought to be subscribing to these things. Yeah, some talking heads on the radio and other places will tell you about some of the stories, but these are journalists who are working extremely hard and have earned your support. So if you're not a subscriber to some of these papers that we have around Wisconsin, you should fix that and become even more of a local news consumer. You've proven you already like local news and knowledge. You're listening to radio stations like this, so be a subscriber to them as well. But to get back to Dan Bice's article this morning, where he asks, you know, where are Wisconsin political donors voting in terms of their wallets? Well, leading the way amongst the Republicans, to nobody's surprise, is former President Trump. He has taken in, or some would say conned, $244,000 from Wisconsinites so far this year. If you guessed that Ron DeSantis would be second on that list, you'd be wrong. Second on the list is former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, who's brought in just short of $140,000, followed by Governor DeSantis of Florida with $126,000. And then, much like the polling numbers, the same goes for the donor numbers. They essentially fall off a cliff. No other candidate pulls in more than $30,000 along the way. And then the article goes on to say that, you know, there's a lot of people who are holding onto their wallets. Republican lobbyist and strategist Bill McGoshin says, quote, "The money is looking for someone else this time. They know Trump is a hard sell in Wisconsin." When Bice looked at, you know, why is Nikki Haley getting, you know, so many contributions from Wisconsin so far this year for the first 6 months of the year, 762 contributions from state residents. She did hold one state fundraiser here in the state in June. The article says that among her top donors were Milwaukee business leaders Ted and Mary Kellner, who each donated $3,300 to Haley's campaign. Ted Kellner hosted a Trump fundraiser in Milwaukee in July of 2018 and then gave to Biden's campaign a year later. Kellner and President Biden have been personal friends for decades. And I know some of you are kind of doing a double take at that. And I will again say, as somebody who's been involved in this, there are people who give money for, you know, purely ideological or emotional reasons. And there are other people who give for access. And there are other people who give quite independently. And they may get along well with people from both parties. And they only give to people that they think would be good elected officials overall, not necessarily flame-throwing Democrats or Republicans. And so it's not a surprise to hear that somebody is friends with Biden and yet still giving money to Republicans. And then there's another link that Nikki Haley has to politics. Her campaign manager, Betsy Ankeny, is from Wisconsin and engineered Ron Johnson's win over Russ Feingold back in 2016 and has been working at the national level ever since. There is, of course, some big money out there in Wisconsin wallets. We talk all the time about the Elines and about Diane Hendricks from Beloit, the billionaire who owns ABC Supply and Roofing. She has not yet given to any of the candidates in the past. And this line still makes me queasy. It says, in the past, she has spent millions of dollars in support of Trump. And the part that makes me queasy isn't even the Trump part. It's the fact that anybody, where you can just have this throwaway line in an article, that so-and-so has spent millions in support of somebody. How nice would that be to have millions to just drop on a whim? The Dick and Liz Eline have also, by and large, held back on who they're really backing in the next election. So there's still a lot of money to be raised from Wisconsinites, and that's why a lot of those folks will actually be paying attention to this debate and to other happenings, you know, beyond there. I wanted to call just brief attention to the chaos that's going on in the Tennessee legislature, just to say that, well, let's tell it chronologically. The Tennessee legislature is filled with right-wing Republicans. Obviously, they're not going to embrace any measure of gun safety. And yet there was that school shooting in Nashville, 3 9-year-old children, 3 adults died, and people there that were close to the Republican governor. And the Republican governor has typically been, not exactly embracing gun safety measures. But because the gunman in this instance did have a known mental health record, he's been embracing red flag laws and has proposed them. Now, we're used to Republicans ignoring special sessions called by a Democratic governor, Tony Evers. But this week in Tennessee, the legislature is in session. The governor wants them to pass this red flag bill, and they're saying no. It's Republicans standing up to a Republican governor and going so far as to, they have cleared the gallery. They have had people forcibly removed who are members of or close to the victims of the school shooting in Nashville and elsewhere. They're just clearing the galleries, because in Tennessee, you can open carry, you can carry any kind of firearms that you want, but apparently you can't carry a sign. And that was the thing, is that people weren't demonstrating necessarily so much as holding up signs about the need to do something about guns. And the Republican legislators said to officers, clear the room and force these people out of there. They also, on one of the hottest days of the year, turned off the drinking fountains in the Capitol. They were confiscating water bottles at the door. I mean, this is I don't know that I have a word that I can use on the radio to describe this level of behavior and dysfunction. but it's not the only red state where we see things this ridiculous. Over in Arkansas, state officials are now requiring teachers to turn over materials for state inspection of an advanced placement African American studies course. They're looking for evidence of critical race theory and indoctrination, which are banned by a new state law. So schools are being required to turn over their courses for official state inspection. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that's the literal definition of fascism. I don't want to overhype this, but that's what it is. We will be back and talk about what's happening in De Pere, trying to ban symbols of inclusion like rainbow flags next. You're up north. Kristen Lyerly joins us now from the desert Southwest to talk about a story closer to her hometown in the Green Bay area. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for pinch hitting here on short notice. We had a guest originally booked that we're going to get a little bit later on. But since you had helped tip us off to a story in the De Pere area, it's nice of you to take some time and tell us a little bit about it. And it's about flags. And I'm just going to start with a brief mini rant. I'm closing in on 60 years old, and I thought by now I would have lived to see the day where we weren't so easily baited by people who basically want to divert from their own failings by talking about flag burning. And we are by and large past that. And yet now we're doing rainbow flags instead. And it really galls me that we still have to do this. Like, really, a flag, this piece of cloth, you know, offends you either because it's being burned or because it's being displayed. And in this case, it's the pride flag, but that isn't even actually spelled out in the story out of De Pere, is it?
No, it's not. Actually, the way that the Republicans are mustering the masses to come in and talk about this is by telling them to support the U.S. flag, that is the one flag that we all need to rally
behind.
The
one true flag, yeah.
But we all know that this is about not flying the pride flag. And not being able to fly the pride flag is a symbol in itself.
Exactly.
It tells people that they are not welcome in a place where we are seeing record numbers of people who are reporting depression, suicides. We've had suicides at De Pere High School in the last couple of years, a few of them. I mean, we need to create a welcoming environment, not tell people that they need to, not that there aren't safe spaces.
And you're going to hear that from some of the folks that I talked to yesterday about this, who were part of the meeting in De Pere. But to give a little bit more of the background here, the De Pere School Board was working on a proposal. The roots of it, I'm not sure about, but the proposal was to limit displays of the flag in the De Pere School District, limit them to just these options: the U.S. flag, the Wisconsin state flag, the flag for a municipality where a school building is located, if you have like a city flag or something like that, and the POW/MIA flag, and that other flags could not be displayed without school board consideration. Now, again, nowhere in there does it mention the pride flag, but Kristen, it was pretty clear from everybody that's what they were trying to do, is prevent the pride flag from being displayed.
Very clear. This issue actually came from two school board members. So here's where voting is important, folks. These two school board members were known to be promoted by the Republican Party, advanced by the Republican Party. They were elected, and they were the people who decided to further this agenda. The superintendent, the school board, talked with people at the school, teachers, students, to identify whether there was a problem that needed to be solved here. And no problem, no complaints, no issues had been noted But these school board members, two people, are the people who are propagating this issue.
But clearly, yes, it was an issue for certain people for certain reasons. And it's it brings back the debate that was being held recently in the Heartland School District in Waukesha County, where a proposal was offered that was essentially it was interpreted as a ban, not just on LGBTQ rainbow related materials, but Black Lives Matter signs and symbols. And then, mm-hmm. you know, Kristen, you and others noticed that the Republican Party of Brown County was getting involved with this and trying to gin up a crowd for Monday night school board meeting, and not just gin up a crowd in De Pere proper.
No, this is the thing that bothers me the most, because those of us who live in De Pere, who have children who attend De Pere schools, we're engaged. We face the consequences of the policies that we create. So to bring in people from outside of De Pere to try to force a policy on me, my community, my children, is just unconscionable.
And that's what they did in an email by the Brown County Republican Chair, Doug Reich, who urged members and others to attend, quote, regardless if you live in De Pere or elsewhere, because, quote, this is a great opportunity to show support for our conservative school board members who will be voting for this patriotic flag policy. And while the proposal doesn't specifically mention the pride flag, Reich did. And it was clear in his email where he said, quote, the time to stand up against the liberal propaganda machine is now apparently in this meeting. So you did get a bit of a healthy turnout, and you had, here's the quote from Fox 11 TV by one unnamed attendee who says about the pride flag, why are we excluding 95% of community members by trying to have a flag that only represents a small percentage? And it's, again, this person somehow thinks the only people who can or should fly a pride flag are people who are LGBTQ. And even if you take them at maybe where they're going is only people who are or who support them, that number is definitely more than 5% of the population.
Oh, for sure.
But for them, it's 95%. They think that, you know, everybody believes like they do.
Oh, yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. But there were some, so the people who stood up and spoke, there were 17 people who spoke against this policy, who are agreeing with what we're saying here, and 7 people who spoke for the policy.
Yeah. So let's hear from a couple of them here. You referenced them or referred a couple of them to me. I interviewed them yesterday. We've heard about, you know, the local Republican chair. We talked to the Democratic chair, who's also a De Pere parent, Christy Welch. And, you know, listen to her comments here, because it really does help touch on the actual motive for doing something like this.
If you're going to spend your Monday night going in to talk about a flag policy and why you don't think that certain kinds of flags should be able to be flown, you want to restrict people that are different from you being welcomed and recognized that they, you know, they need, that's a group that needs support. The world has come a long way since I was in school, but there's still, you know, if you're an LGBTQ kid, you're still going to get bullied more. There's higher rates of depression and suicide. And given that the school is a place where all kids go for it to, you know, feel like a safe space, and, you know, that's a signal to them that you're welcome here. We recognize you, and we want you to feel like we want you here. Why would you want to go out of your way to say that that should not happen?
And yet that's what these folks want to do, is go out of their way to say, no, we are not going to have symbols of inclusion and welcoming to vulnerable populations.
And again, those folks who are saying that are not in De Pere, not from De Pere. They don't go to De Pere. They have no idea.
And even if the ones who are, to forward this the way that it was written, you know, other folks like Wolf Hendricks caught up on it right away. We interviewed him about it. He is a combat vet, and he certainly takes issue with, you know, the POWMIA flag. We'll hear about that in a sec. But before you even get to that, just as a parent and a community member, he noticed how very vague this proposal was, while at the same time, we definitely knew who it was targeting.
Well, the policy as proposed was just really loosely written, and it didn't really define a lot of very basic things, down to what do we actually consider to be a flag, or where are we talking about this being an issue? So is it the flagpole that's outside? Is it flags inside of classrooms? Is it something that we're allowed to wear on a shirt or a pin? You know, is a sticker on a door allowed? And ultimately it came down to, you know, is this a policy where even so much as, you know, I'm in a foreign language classroom, can I display that foreign flag? And we know that that was not the intent of the policy that was pushed through. The intent of the policy is very deliberately anti-LGBTQ.
But he raises a point that you could see happening, because you see what somebody like Ron DeSantis is doing, you know, with the, you know, the white nationalism down in Florida, is that, you know, if a foreign language class, like Wolf brought up, if a German language teacher wants to put a flag of Germany in that class, you could see, you know, somebody in a position of power basically trying to confiscate that and dictate, like, oh, we won't have any foreign flags here, you know, America. It sounds ridiculous, but it no longer sounds impossible.
You're right. And it's not what De Pere is currently. And in fact, in the cafeteria in De Pere, there is a shrine of sorts to all of the foreign exchange students who have been at the high school, and all of their country's flags are displayed there. It's really a beautiful, inclusive, welcoming area. This policy does not reflect the people and the students of De Pere.
In fact, the photo that you took of it is atop our article over at upnorthnewswi.com, showing the flags of all these nations that are on display. But then you get into the notion of, again, this particular policy, the first three flags make sense. You know, the U.S. flag, the state flag, and the municipality. For whatever reason, they threw in the POW MIA flag. And again, Wolf Hendricks, who is a combat vet, was quick to pounce on this one.
But because they were pushing the POW MIA flag, you know, they made it to where it would feel like if you said no, you are inherently un-American.
How do you feel about that as a combat vet?
It actually made me pretty angry. You know, the POW MIA flag is a flag that I respect very much. You know, a lot of the guys wear it on their vests or on the back of their motorcycles. It's certainly, you know, not lost on me how terrible combat and war can be. But I also don't think that it should be pushed in school. It doesn't need to be thrown in their face. There's a lot of terrible things in the world. But I think that the use of patriotism as a vessel or as a means of shutting other people up is infuriating. It's not what anybody in the military wants. It's certainly not what we fight for, what we, you know, purport to believe.
But that is how cynical right-wing politics has become. Is, you know, look, if you're a classic libertarian, you're against this because it's like, no other flag should be named. Don't pick the POW-MIA one just because you think it's going to curry favor. You keep the one for the nation and the state and the municipality. And they really kind of gave away the game with this bit of cynicism, frankly, putting that flag into their proposed policy.
Well, that's what they do. They find that emotional thing that gets people to feel a certain way. And they trick people into supporting things that they don't understand they're supporting. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who really think that we need to unify behind the American flag. And they think that that is the true message. But clearly, it's not. It's a divisive message. And people are being used.
The idea of uniting behind a single American flag is a worthy notion. But so is the notion of protest, and that sometimes there are things in our country that require voices to be said, or for people to kneel or to raise a fist to raise attention, to then take it to the next step and say, you must be against our country, you're against our troops, you don't back the blue, etc., etc. That's the cynicism that we're talking about. If you want to have a genuine disagreement on something like, you know, police policy, or, you know, should we be sending troops, you know, to Europe to help defend Ukraine and all that, that's fine. But it's when you're so easily hiding behind the military or law enforcement, that too many people have been intimidated by that for too long, and it is past time to call that out.
Can I just briefly mention that there was a student who stood up, Andrew Hoy, who said this: "This resolution is not a matter of indoctrination or even of representation. It is a question of comfort and decency." That's the voice of our student population.
Yeah, the voice that should be heard. So again, my story tipped off by Kristen, including comments from Christian Wolf. You'll find it over at our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. And close by saying the school board did not take a vote on Monday. They decided to table the matter. Now, you can keep either possibility up, that it's too vague and they won't bring it back for passage, or that they're just waiting for the heat to die down and they're going to quietly pass it a month from now. I don't know the answer. We'll continue to monitor that and we will let you know. I believe the new groom, Luke Mathers, is going to join us coming up next, right after this break. You're up north.
Surrender. There will be no white flag above my door. I'm in love. And always will be.
Yeah, it's that kind of a day.
I'm Mr. Green Christmas. I'm Mr. Sun.
Oh boy.
I'm Mr. Heat Blister. I'm Mr.
101.
They call me Heat Miser.
I actually feel Christmassy right now.
It's a Christmas song.
Too much. Love it. Oh, wild applause for Aaron for picking out the bumper music. Not for Luke Mathers, I forgot what day of the week it is, but for Todd Alba, who's breaking a couple of state laws by talking to us right now from somewhere behind a steering wheel. Mr. Alba, how are you?
Well, I'm fantastic, and it's great to have you. And I'm especially happy Dr. Lyerly is joining us, because I'm not sure if this is medically okay or not. I'm driving into Milwaukee right now for this debate coverage down in Milwaukee with our friend Kristen Bry. And I just passed Lake Mills, I believe. I look over in the cornfield here, and hand to God, it's so hot here. It's so hot on the interstate.
How hot is it?
I look over, thank you for asking, Pat. I look over, and there was a squirrel next to the interstate putting ice on his nuts. So right there,
So anyway, as I said, Luke Mathers is going to be here next as we cut off Todd's microphone. Well, that was the other thing that threw me off, is that Kristen's normally here Thursday, and you will be here tomorrow for Hometown Health, but she was pinch hitting, so right away I associated Kristen there. But Kristen was nice enough to stick around even for you, and even for what passes for, you know, heat humor while you're on the road, clearly getting set to suffer the effects of heat stroke.
Todd, I'm so excited about your coverage tonight. I was listening to your coverage of President Biden's visit last week, and man, you just nailed it. So really excited to watch along with you tonight.
Well, thanks. I mean, it's a production of the entire Civic Media team. Our engineering crew's been working on this. Of course, Kristen Bry is going to co-host tonight between 6 and 8. It's an entire crew effort, and we're really excited. And here's the thing. Even if you're not excited about voting for a Republican this fall, I just think it's cool that all this national media is here in Wisconsin, and you're hearing about Milwaukee and Wisconsin all the time. And I think you will both agree that Wisconsin is going to be once again the fulcrum point moving into 2024. The voters of this state could most likely decide who sits in the White House for the next 4 years, and I think that's worthy of attention.
100%.
100%. And I mentioned this earlier. I'm going to say it again and again and again, that, again, some people they're always going to vote Democrat. Some people are always going to vote Republican. But this state is filled with friends and neighbors who can go either way on their voting and are proud of that. And they should be. I'm not talking them down as somebody who, you know, votes probably 99% Democrat. I'm saying that if you think of yourself as an independent at all, and you think, I could vote for Biden, but I could vote for some Republican, or I could vote for Biden, but I could vote for a Republican as long as it's not Trump, this is exactly the kind of debate you should either be watching or listening to tonight, or tracking the coverage of, because it's the first time you really get to kick the tires on these people.
Yeah, without Trump there tonight, the thing I'm going to be watching for is, you know, people like Nikki Haley, Asia Hutchinson, and others. have said, look, you know, we've moved past Trump. We're no longer a Trumpist party. Well, you know what? Tonight they get to try to prove that to the voters of Wisconsin and come up with different and new ideas that aren't about Trump and aren't about Trumpism. I'm not particularly optimistic that will happen, but hey, you know what? They have the platform to do that tonight. So let's see.
I said back when Trump was first running, I said that for a very brief time, I bought into the political fantasy that he was the guy that could rise above Wall Street the way he said he could, and that he would actually invest in infrastructure, and that maybe he could do that. Of course, he didn't. He was a complete selfish failure. But I wonder, Kristen, is there anybody in the field where you could transfer that sense that, okay, this person's not Trump. Yes, he or she is a Republican, but maybe this is the person that brings the party back from the right-wing precipice.
I think that's what we're going to see tonight. I think everybody is going to try to stake their claim and figure out what do the people actually want. So I'm really excited to see how they're going to play off of each other, how they're going to message. And also, I'm not going to lie, I'm wondering what Trump is going to be doing in the background, because you know that something is going to be happening there. And I just don't know.
It's got to be, because he's already pre-taped the interview with Tucker Carlson. So you got, you know, two people who've been fired from their previous Fox News gigs. Fox News, by the way, not letting any of the Trump people into the spin room, figuring that if he's not going to be on stage, then their reps can't be there working the media afterwards. So, you know, good on them. Doesn't make them an actual news channel yet, but you know, good on them for sticking to their, you know, values and their principles that way. But Todd, I do wonder if the people who are far down the list, people who are going to be at the opposite ends of the stage, you know, your Doug Burgum from North Dakota, Asa Hutchinson, and people like that, are they going to end up wasting our time, or do you think, is somebody going to have a breakthrough moment? And by the way, that doesn't have to be a quip or a gaffe, but just, are they going to impress somebody? Is there anybody you think might actually impress tonight?
I hope so. Again, if I'm being honest, I'm not overly optimistic, but I hope somebody does. I think the real test is, does anybody on that stage tonight do what Paul Ryan has already done and said, if Donald Trump is the nominee, I won't be back here in Milwaukee at the convention next summer, and I won't vote for him. I mean, that's the real test, right? Are you going to admit that January 6th was a coup on democracy? And are you going to stand up and have some actual values? And I think if I'm a Wisconsinite listening to Cross Wisconsin tonight, I'm going to be looking for one main thing. You know, Dr. Lyerly is in Green Bay, of course. You think about guys like Toby Roth, Mark Green, even State Senator Rob Coles represents parts of Green Bay today. You know, I look like a little bit like Mike Ellis with the sunglasses on, the late great state senator from the Fox Valley.
Don't flatter yourself that way.
I know. But you think about Republicans like that, even if you didn't agree with all of what they stood for in policy.
I think we get the point. As we wait for him to hit the next, he's probably jumping towers. There he is. Yeah, you were back for a get, but we get your larger.
Sorry. Anyway.
We get your larger point about, you know, again, I would say my Republican friends and neighbors, the, you know, regular folks out there, I think they would squeal with delight if they could get somebody on stage who was closer to where, you know, your typical suburban Republican voter is, rather than the extreme politicians we have today.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's a completely different Republican Party than when I belong to it. And I also think that there's something to be said. I mean, the big issue we talked about on our show yesterday was rural internet. The Biden administration, former state senator Julie Lassa, now director of USDA in Stevens Point, of money directly into the Reedsburg utility for high-speed internet. What have Republicans done for rural Wisconsin? Contrast we're looking here.
And the answer is zero. They put $0 in there. Todd, thank you so much. Drive safe. We'll talk to you tonight.
You guys are both spectacular. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. And Kristen, you've got Hometown Health tomorrow. Basically, we're going to learn about a Door County farm that helps veterans with rehabilitation. Sounds very important. Looking forward to that discussion, too.
Yeah, we're going to talk with Jacob Vanderplas from the Door County Farm for Vets about how we can prevent veteran suicide.
All right. Thank you for pinch hitting today as well. We'll have Joe Zepecki tomorrow. Remember, you can follow me, Pat Kreitlow, up north on Facebook, Pat Kreitlow on Twitter. You can sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Have a wonderful Wednesday. here all across Wisconsin. America's true up north. See you tomorrow.